All right, we had a little bit of a Christmas break, but we're back for the last episode of the season. We're announcing, well, if you haven't known already, the champion, which I, spoiler alert, was not me. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen.
Where's the sound?
Nope, not giving any applause. There's
no applause for me, no.
But we're also going to have our first The Timmys Awards. You heard of the Oscars? We just, you know, we didn't have it in our budget, but we should have had, like, you know, life-size versions of Tim, you know, to hand out as trophies.
I have in storage in church, like, little Dollar Tree trophies, you know. I could have, like, mailed that out to people, I guess.
Hey, this year we did send out a championship trophy. We go into Brinks, our first one, and a loser trophy, which is just basically a toilet-looking thing for the last place. That's going out to somebody, too. We'll announce that. unfortunately, it was not Tim. That would have been great.
I'm not the worst.
Last place, Tim. All right, guys, before we recap the end of a fun and exciting season, let's go with our random non-football question of the night, which, going through Christmas and winter break for at least me and Tim and Chris, who's not with us tonight, if you can't tell, if you're listening on any of the podcasts, Chris is not with us tonight, but a fun thing for us winter break, we always play video games. You know, some people play board games, other stuff, play a lot of Madden, play a lot of different GoldenEye, all these different ones throughout the Christmas break, a lot of video games in. So the idea I had is let me know what your favorite childhood video game is, but you can't pick Madden because a lot of us play that. So outside of Madden, so it's non-football related, your favorite childhood video game. Let's go with Brinks. He probably was during the Atari era, so that's
a favorite. A lot of Pong growing up.
my dad actually had an Atari, and I hated it. Oh my goodness, did I hate that thing! I did not like playing that at all. But no, so I have my favorite, and I know a lot of these questions. I always had to think about them, at least the ones that I've been on the episodes and stuff. But this one here was an easy one. I was ecstatic when I saw that this was going to be the question. But so my favorite was, and it was a 1993 classic, Super Tecmo Bowl for the Sega Genesis.
Okay.
The side-scrolling little people, like probably about that size. You had to squint to see them on the screen. You just wish you had a huge TV to be able to see them. But, man, There's not a lot of games that I can sit and play for hours in any of my time playing video games. But Tecmo Bowl was one of those that I could sit there and play that. Didn't have any specific team that I would play. I would play the seasons. And I think I played the seasons at least once with every single team just to see how the difficulty was, how it changed and stuff. I mean, I just loved that game.
That's a favorite.
It was a favorite of mine for sure. So whenever I see it, I always like it brings me back to my younger days. So pretty good. And it wasn't in black and white either, Mike. So I know you're probably going to.
That's the next question. man. All right. So we got Tecmo Bowl. All right. Throwback there. 93. Like that. All right, Timmy. Well, Timmy DeVito. Okay, so what do you got?
I thought of a couple. I thought like maybe back to the N64 days or something like that. But probably one of my favorites was when we got a PlayStation 2. And it's going to sound confusing because I just finished this game as well because they just came out with another one with the same title. But that is Spider-Man 2, based off the movie Spider-Man 2 back in the day. And that was like one of the first really big open world, like that mechanic and stuff in a video game. And one, Mike knows I'm a big superhero nerd and stuff like that. So it was cool to live out like a superhero swinging through the cities of New York. And then recently doing it again on the newer version and stuff. But going from childhood into high school, it was definitely the Uncharted game.
It was Mike, all about that Uncharted.
So Mike knows, like, I still play video games, but I'm not like people nowadays. They think video games like all online stuff, like the, you know, Call of Duty or Fortnite, stuff like that. I stink at those. I like, give me a good story. Let me play through the story. And Uncharted is literally like playing through a movie. So all four of those games are awesome.
So good.
Mm.
The movie was not good.
That's true. When the video games make a better movie than the movie does. That is true.
Man, but they've been wanting to do that movie for a while. Wahlberg came out and said that he was originally cast for Holland's character when it first was given. He called him back.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, we want you to be the old guy. He's like, oh. I mean, that tells you how long ago they wanted to do that movie.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. Tim dropping two. On that, I'm going to put a limit on it. Let's go. Jenobes, what's your favorite video game?
So I think I'm going to do similar to Tim, going back to my younger days, getting a PS2, Crash Bandicoot. Loved Crash Bandicoot with like the mask that would like throw riddles at you and like encourage you to keep going. And it was so much fun. I think that was probably my first like PlayStation game. And similar to Tim, I got the on the online PlayStation, they had the pack of all of them for like $20.
Oh, that's right.
All those and beat all those. So bringing it back a little bit, but in my more recent years, The Last of Us is incredible. That's probably
same, same company.
That's my favorite game. Just watching the show was made it even better. But those are the two, old and new.
It's good. Those are good.
So I've always loved Madden until I was really bad at it. That's when I started playing against
you. I realized you're so bad at
this game. But as a kid, Sonic number two game, Sonic Hedgehog number two, I think we had a Sega Genesis.
Yep.
Obviously, it took really zero skill. Because he was already going fast. I just had to hit the jump button different times. And so you can just keep playing that for a long time. If you're a guy like me that was never really good at video games, I felt good about myself playing that one, you know? I can just remember you're collecting all those rings. I'm not paying attention to what's really that great, what's not. But that was a lot of fun. And then I would say when I got older, not too old, I think it was like S64, Mario Party.
Mario Party was fun.
Yeah.
You got your friends.
Yeah. But only if you're with
only other people. Friends. Yeah. Only if you had friends.
Oh, yeah. Not online. Yeah. That's N64.
How did that work, Mike? How did that work?
I had two brothers. They had no choice.
Okay. I forgot about that. They were required to play.
But it was like the first of like being a virtual board game.
Yeah.
And then like you always had these weird, silly games that like some of them took no skills and just like smashing buttons with your hand. Other stuff, but I mean, that was pretty fun. That was interactive. So those are good for down for my favorite childhood video games. We're spanning everything. We went like Tech Mobile, that stuff, Crash Bandicoot. I haven't thought about that until you just said it. I knew Tim's because, man, Tim could play those games forever. Uncharted, all of those. He could play a long time.
Were we supposed to pick a new one too? A newer one?
You could.
I feel like I got gypped here, you know?
Your newer one would have to go to Super Nintendo, probably.
Oh, stop it. Believe me, okay, I have an Xbox, all
right? Mike, he's living right now. You know that, right?
Okay, come on, seriously. I have a Switch, too, okay, that we play with the kids, all right? Seriously. Oh. I try to stay up on that stuff.
Now, so do you let them win?
Play.
Huh? Do you let them win on the Switch?
Never. Nope.
Good dad. Great dad award right there.
It's teaching them hard knocks, you know?
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
Not all
we used
about...
to play a lot of GoldenEye with Dad. He just annihilated us.
That was a good one, too.
We didn't understand when we were young, like, what proximity mines would really mess you up with, and he would just litter them everywhere, and you'd be chasing them, boom, you blew up. It was not fun.
Yeah. So. Nope. Good stuff. Good stuff.
But, all right, so we're going to go for now pivot to talking about how the season ended. And before we get to the end of the story, Tim, before we get to the end of the story, let's talk about the big highlight that was the semis, okay? I'm going to claim that's the big highlight for my season. The semifinals. Tim, you weren't playing in it, but the three of us were. you can just leave now. No. You know, we had Brinks up against Justin in a matchup. And for a second there, I was scared. Not scared. I was actually kind of like, oh, no. Brinks might lose because what? Purdy gets 2 points. But the rest of your roster showed up so well. And so
what if we played this week, Jenobes, and Lamar went off? You probably would have smoked me if you were thinking about that.
Geno could have been the champ.
Yep. Me and Janobs lost to another team in our consolation game that had like Lamar and somebody else that are like both went off like crazy.
They pulled up like 180 points. Yeah.
Oh man.
I think he could have finished with 200. I think it was nuts. But like when you look at that, I mean, Lamar going 22, but Barkley with 19, Gibbs went off 24, CD 20. Just so much consistency with Brinks' team. Jones, he had a lot of single digit point getters. That was what really stunk there.
Yeah.
I'm telling you guys, I don't know how we're going into the future. How do we treat Darren Waller as a tight end for any of our drafts? I think the train has left the station for him really being talked about drafted.
I mean, like, look who was throwing him the ball, to be fair. True. I mean, he was hurt, but then when he was playing, the mixture of Daniel Jones, Tyrod Taylor, and Tim's brother, Tommy DeVito.
Hey, all I know is when he's got Russell Wilson throwing him the ball next year, we'll see what happens in New York.
Is that the rumor? No,
that's just my pick. I'm like, why not go to New York?
Yeah, that's the thing with Waller is you just – how easily you forget about his days when he was with the Raiders, when he had, you know, a better quarterback than what at least he did in Giant in New York. So it's easy to forget that. But
but you know what? Going through that, seeing Njoku again, solid performance. I'm talking about like the MVP for anybody that wins the championships, having Njoku as your tight end. And, of course, anybody that's got a Steelers receiver, it's hard because they don't block. But Deontay Johnson got you 3 points, Brinks, but you still were able to have a good outing. Final score 129-93. So that semifinal matchup, you know, Brinks won it in the dominant team. Now the other semifinal matchup was between me and my twin, Chris, and that one went down to the wire.
Ooh.
Christmas night, sitting, the rest of the family is
literally
sitting on the couch enjoying the fourth quarter of that game between the Ravens and the Niners. Chris and I are sitting back at like the kitchen table, and we're both just watching, not really talking too much to each other. We're sitting right beside each other, checking our phones, refreshing it. I was like, oh no, I'm about to lose.
The whole family was actively cheering against Mike, I will say, at Christmas.
It was nuts. And then, but I knew it was pretty much game over for him when like the last offensive lineman that was dressed for the Niners went in, and like the Ravens had the lead and were able to just send Clowney and those dudes. And then you just saw all these plays where McCaffrey had to either stay in the block or chip and then go out. I was like, Chris is done for. He's not going to get anything. There's not going to be enough time to get McCaffrey the ball. But then they got to like the low red zone, and I was like, oh no, they're going to hand it off. He's going to win. But I pulled off the victory 132.90 to 132.02. That's and great. Once that went final, I did a lap around the living room in the kitchen, did a little dance in the kitchen. Out of breath.
A very slow lap.
I ran out of breath when I hit turn three on the whole circle, man.
Yeah, those beat sweats going on. You know?
I was like, I can't believe it, because I thought for sure once they got before the penalty, I was going, they're going to hand it off to McCaffrey. He's going to get the touchdown. I'm going to lose. I was saved. And then it was great. But that is where the high point of my season just stopped right there. Because Justin, break it down for us. What happened in the finals, man?
So in the finals, Mike versus Travis. So the first little sliver of game action was with the Cowboys and Lions game. Travis had Gibbs playing. Gibbs got him 5 points. Had a couple long runs. I know one run for sure was like 30 plus that got called back as a holding. But then that kind of wasn't so bad because he also had CeeDee Lamb, who 13 catches, 227 yards, one touchdown, totaling 40 fantasy points.
Travis, how did you watch that game, being a Lions fan and then seeing CD go off for you? I mean, were you torn, or were you like, I don't care at this point, I'm taking the championship?
Well, with how the Lions play this year, I knew that they could score points, so I wasn't really worried if CD went off, because I knew the Lions would end up sticking with them as far as from the point standpoint. So I was okay with it to a certain extent, but I also was not really too worried about it. I was expecting it to be a high scoring game, so I kind of expected it. So,
yeah, I mean, it worked. It certainly worked out in your favor.
But we don't need to talk about the end of the game. We'll leave that part for the two people.
Everyone else has been talking about it nonstop.
Oh, man.
So going into Sunday, Travis had 45 points, right around there. Mike had none because he sucks.
And no claim.
Oh, because he had no players. No players have played. That's why.
Actually, he had 60 points going into Sunday because he had
Njoku
on Thursday.
Now, one caveat I will add this here, okay? Sunday morning for all the folks that are listening, and sorry to, you know, take away your thunder, Justin, here. But I just got to add something about how – so Raheem Mostert has been a huge part of my season. And so it was Sunday morning, first thing, when I realized that – and I got the clicker, the tag – line from my app that said that he was going to actually sit out, that he was not playing. So here I am scrambling Sunday morning, and you could, if you looked at the waiver wire, I added like four different people, and just trying to figure out who should I put in his place to be able to at least get me some points to be able to contend, because I was worried about it to begin with. And thankfully I was able to at least pick up somebody that would get me some reasonable points. That actually, it worked out pretty good. So DeMarcus Robinson with the Rams. So it ended up playing out pretty well.
Yeah, he got you 13 points, which is good considering you weren't even thinking about him the day before.
Nope. So,
did you even need those 13 points though?
No, I think I still would have won. Yeah,
you should have just kept Mostert in.
Yeah.
Give Mike that hope.
Give you like, I'm within 3 or 4 points. Oh, that would have been terrible.
Oh, and Mike, so you had a decision to make. You'd been rolling with Jaden Reed most of the second half of the season, and you decided to bench him. How many points did he get?
25, 26.
26. And who did you put in his place?
Zamir White.
How much did he get?
16?
15. Yeah. So that wasn't a great decision you made there. You also made the decision of continuing to roll with Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. Week after week, they've been disappointing you. But because you've been at the top, you haven't cared.
First, and look who, at who
you got comfy in his big plush chair.
Not roll out with Mahomes and Kelce in your starting lineups.
I mean, I understand what you're saying, but how did it do for you in the championship game? Mahomes got 12 points.
Here's what happened. Here's what happened. Tim had some voodoo magic, some ticking time bomb on this trade that I made that, like, to your point, Justin, I have not had to worry all year because my team was that good. Okay. I didn't have to worry about it, but because I'm playing against a guy that's got a 60 point lead ahead of me, the CD has been like probably the top fantasy receiver all year. And he's got the top tight end he traded for in Njoku for the playoff run. Then it came back to bite me in the butt because I was like, oh shoot. I'm going to have some issues here. But that game was like the worst performance I had out of those like two guys, like almost all year, maybe.
Travis had four guys on his team that outscored Mahomes and Kelce combined. So that tells you kind of how things
went. And to clarify, Mike, I did not do any voodoo ticking time bomb thing. I gave you Mahomes in the middle. He's been mediocre this whole season. Like any Chiefs fan will probably say that too. Like he hasn't to Mahomes' standard. All right. Obviously, we know Mahomes is Mahomes, yes. But
for America, don't forget, I was rolling with Kirk Cousins, who was like the number two fantasy quarterback until he ruptured his Achilles. So I really thought, with the receivers I had and Kirk, I was going to run away with this deal because I was scoring like 160, 180 points a week. But I don't know.
It was a rough week, and Travis ended up you know, 17 from Purdy, had some kind of low numbers from Saquon, got 8. Tyler Lockett, like, you're lucky, Travis, that the last couple weeks haven't been that close because he hasn't been doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like Travis kept with him just because your team's name was Lockett and Loaded. So I was like, well, he's still playing Lockett. Okay.
Right. Like, well, and to be honest, I didn't really have much else for options as far as Lockett.
Yeah, this is true.
Was I gonna go to with Shakur? No. Yeah. No. Khalil Shakur? No. I mean he was not any better than that. So.
And yeah, Jalen Warren was a good pickup over the last second half of the season, getting you 19. Mm-hmm. Mike, who did good for you? Puka did good. He's been doing good all year. 18. Nico got 15. Yep. Tyreek had a normal day. Normal for everyone else, not a normal Tyreek.
He had a down day for himself, but normal for other receivers. Right. Yeah,
because he's playing the Ravens. Yep. And so final score, Mike. Barely anything, 117 points, and Travis 135.
Pedestrian.
According to Sleeper, Mike still has a 1% chance of winning somehow.
Yep, I see that.
Interesting.
I'm going to use
my Mike is the commish.
I'm the commish. I'm going to make some stat corrections tonight. Right.
There you go.
The ref's going to call in some ineligible receivers on my team. So
I think that might happen.
Oh man!
But so, Travis is the champ. 2 years.
Travis is the champ.
Thank you, Michael. Yep.
Oh, there you go.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you.
There's a kindergarten class cheering.
Little kids. Wait, what?
I clicked the wrong button after the clap. I'm going to double down on the clap. But ladies and gentlemen, your champ, 2023 champ, his second championship in this league. Tim still has 0. Travis Brinks. Travis.
Let's go, Travis.
All right. Man.
I did it. I'll just say I did it for everybody else in the league that didn't want Mike to win. So Joe Cherry texted me. He's texting me like the day of Sunday. He's like, dude, you need to seriously beat Mike. You cannot let him do this.
Oh, I like how
and then he texted me Sunday night and was like, you did it, man. Awesome. Great job.
I like how you go into like Sunday with setting your lineups and people are going to be like, you can't allow them to beat you. You have to beat them. And you're like, right now I'm depending on luck. I'm putting players in and I don't know what's going to happen.
Mostert's out. I am scrambling here.
I know.
I mean, I could have played Greg Dortch for all people and he would have gotten 19 points.
And you still would have won.
Yeah. I still
would have won. You could have played a kicker in that spot. Right. You still would have won.
Yeah.
But all right, so we're now going to the end of the year awards. People have the Oscars. We are going to have a yearly tradition starting now going forward. When we end the year, we're going to have the Timmys. So we're going to hand out the Timmy for certain awards or something unique, a prize or award for our different owners. And so the first one, the Timmy for the champion, goes to
Travis Brinks. Let's go. He gets the champion award. He gets a trophy. First time we're having a trophy, apparently.
Yep. Sent the trophy. First year we're having a trophy. Travis, your acceptance speech, sir. Keep it short. I'll play the music. Get you off.
All I can say, first off, Justin, I'm still a little hurt by the fact that you were dogging my team name probably 4 or 5 episodes back. You were saying it was cute. So anyways, who's a champion now? Me. Thank you. But all I can say is that when the season first started and I looked at my team and how I drafted and that kind of thing, and I think actually Mike and a couple other people would kind of made comments about, it wasn't the greatest draft, and I wasn't very confident about how I drafted, but made some moves throughout the season and just had some, you know, guys that really stepped forward and stepped up. I mean, I was, I think, like 500 halfway through the season or something like that. And then tail end of the season, made some good choice and had some good people, you know, finally stepping up and playing, and it ended out really well. So they were hot in the end, and that's what got me through it. So
there was like a 5 week span where Justin's team was going this way. And then Brinks was just going up. It was ridiculous. You got hot.
It surprised me. So
that latter half of the regular season, man. I said a couple of weeks ago, I was like, I don't want to play against Travis. His team is just getting too hot. And then I play against you.
So I'll tell you what, it's not always your draft doesn't decide your season. I'll just say that. So, and then also it doesn't matter kind of where you're at during the middle of the season. As long as you get into playoffs, that's what counts. I know the first time that I won this championship, I was like a 7-6 record and going into the playoffs, and I just squeaked in and I ended up winning it out because my players just happened to step up. So, I mean, obviously fantasy football, you can never guess what's going to happen, but it just worked out my favor. So,
all right. Well, congrats to the champ. The Timmy Award for the champion goes to Papa Ray. Hey guys, it's a successful season as long as little Timmy is not our champion. Remember, that's our motto.
Man, I'm gonna keep all them receipts. But anyway, we got a couple more.
If it wins the award, that's when we're gonna have zero podcasts. We're gonna be like, I don't know what's happening.
Radio silent.
All right, Tim.
The rest of this. All right.
You get the next Timmy Award, Tim. Hand it out.
All right, so we're going to run through it. Everybody in the league is going to get one. We got next one is the Worst Team Award. That goes to Kevin. For those of our listeners or viewers that may not know this because of how Mike talks about me all the time, I am not the worst team in the league. I'm not even one of the worst three teams, which technically means I'm the fourth worst team. But the worst team is Kevin Patterson, Big Shark. He gets that award.
What's his team name?
Something about Not Cash Money or something like that.
Yep. His team is Not Cash Money.
And it was not. He wasn't the lowest scorer, though. He's the second to lowest scorer. But anyway, our next award is called the Weirdest Draft Strategy, and we have alluded to this throughout the season. And that goes to JD, who might be hurting a little bit this weekend because he's a big Bama fan.
Right.
They had a tough loss there.
Go Michigan.
Terrible play call.
Terrible play calling towards the end. Anyway, his draft strategy on draft day was to draft all the Bama players he could. Did he end up with Mac Jones as his quarterback at one point? That just tells you how bad of a strategy this was to begin.
I think Furman swooped in and took Tua. He was definitely going for Tua in the third or fourth round and then got sniped.
He got like Calvin Ridley thinking like that would be a good one, which most people thought it would be, but that guy – was a no-show. It was all
Christian. It started out that way.
Right. Yeah.
So.
Najee apparently doesn't know until like the last week or so he can run really hard and gain a lot of yards. So it was just a weird draft strategy overall, and that led him to be in one of the worst teams in the league. Next, we have one of my personal favorite award. All right. Obviously, this man's very close in communicating with Trav, and that is the Man of the People Award. This guy is very vocal on our Facebook feeds and stuff like that, always commenting about how the commish is corrupt and how we impeach the commish. And that is Joe, Big Joe Cherry. He is the man of the people. As a brief aside, going into this episode, I was thinking because Mike lost, how Joe would feel. My wife and I this past weekend, we just saw the production Wicked at the Majestic. And if you know in the Wizard of Oz movie, everyone's cheering that the Wicked Witch is dead. And you're like, the Wicked Witch is dead. The Wicked Witch. I'm just thinking in my head, Joe's out there saying the corrupt commish is dead. The corrupt commish is dead. All right. So there you go, Joe. Man of the people. Next award is the No Hands Award, meaning his team had no good receivers whatsoever. And that is Mike's twin, Chris. You look at his lineup. He has Chris Olave. Is that the number one?
Yeah,
probably number one. Devontae Smith, he didn't have any great receivers, and that eventually led to his downfall.
Well, we figured out that Derek Carr just did not like Chris Olave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was just nuts. Very, very sad.
Yep.
Next, we have the best team name, and this goes to our boy, the property brother, Justin. Not for the team name he has currently, not for Winner, Winner, Chicken Dinner. That's a classic. But before he traded away OBJ, his team name was Odell Nah, which Mike always pronounced it like Odell Nah. And I'm like, Mike, that's obviously not what he's going for. It's like, Odell Nah, you know?
Thank you, Tim.
Thank you. You're welcome, man. And
thanks on it.
Mike's like, Odell Nah.
Yeah, didn't get it.
best team name of the.
He also pronounces Njoku weird, so it's fine.
Yeah, so Njoku. Some weird pronunciation.
I'm gonna figure out some way to incorporate that in my team name next year.
Because your team name's just too cute.
Yeah.
All right. Next award is best trade, which I'm being selfish because I'm putting it to me because apparently my trade is what led to Mike's downfall. All right. That trade was me trading Mahomes and I don't know, some other piece that did. Oh, Christian Watson, actually. Mahomes and Watson for CJ Stroud and Amon Ra.
Which the only wrong.
Huh?
Wasn't it Mahomes and Kelsey?
No, I traded Kelsey to Chris earlier.
No, I had to get Kelsey from Chris.
Oh, my bad. Yeah. Don't pay attention to me.
Yep.
So my only regret was I didn't do that trade 2 weeks earlier because to have the combo of Debo and Amon Ra going off would have gave me a better chance of making the playoffs. Yeah. But Mike, hoping that the Mahomes plane would finally lift off, was met with the sudden realization this past week that it was never going to take off for the rest of this season, and he lost. But the true best trade, though, goes to our guy, our champ, Trav, who traded and got under the radar Njoku. Best tight end in the league during
Did you get him for Miles Sanders?
Miles Sanders and Tajay Spears. And this was an absolute last-minute trade.
Flew under the radar right before the deadline. I was like, okay.
It almost didn't happen. I was pushing down so hard on some of this stuff. He just would not let anybody go. So I got lucky.
And just to put it in more perspective, Mike did mention at the beginning of the show that Amon Ra was the only receiver to score 20 points throughout the whole playoff period. So Mike definitely missed him during that time.
Yep.
Worst luck award goes to our father, the patriarch, Jeff. He has the highest scoring team almost in the league, and he missed
the playoffs. He's the fifth highest scoring team.
Fifth highest scoring team, missed the playoffs, just the luck of the draw. One team would always score more than him, even when he scores a lot. After that, we have the Please Set Your Lineup Award. Goes to Dan Furman. Please set your lineup for the rest of the year.
I got another one for him, the worst trade partner. Because he would never respond.
And respond to your trade offers. Everyone in the league, respond to trade offers, okay? The Trendsetter Award goes to our boy, Travis Downs. If you recall, last year, we kept mentioning how this guy is playing two tight ends, and he won the championship. This year, we have several teams that play two tight ends and would win weeks after week after week. So Travis Downs is the trendsetter there. To Columbo, we got the award, a little inside joke here. T, just the letter. All right. Because Gino, or Justin here, apparently, doesn't like when people just have a letter as their name, like T or C or whatever.
J.
Nelson. Columbo has what I think is the new Gabe Davis of fantasy football, and that is T. Higgins on his team. And that definitely probably bit him a couple times throughout the year, thinking, oh, man, Jamar's hurt or this or that, and T. Higgins still would not show up. And our last award, our best award, Just Desserts, goes to the man that looks like he likes to eat a lot of desserts, and that is our commish, Mike, getting what he deserves, losing, talking all that talk, and then losing in the championship. So, Mike, you get the Just Desserts award.
Tim. Still well better done. Than you.
Well done.
But, all right, we got the awards out.
Is that a sound bite? Is that sound bite right there? That noise you
made? Oh, guys, it was a fun season. It was really cool to see how everything was going. You know, next year we're going to have some rule changes. We'll announce that in August with an episode. Some of the things that help, one, the worst luck, we're going to have some scoring stuff to help out teams like my dad, who had a high-scoring team, but a couple things there. We may expand back to 14. We have 3 to 5 people asking to get in or get back in. So we'll see. For the long time, we were a 14-team league.
Yes.
Hey, Travis, if they pay me enough, I'll expand it to 14, man.
Let's do it.
Or
the people's champ, the best commish, just said if they pay me enough. Really?
Okay. Okay. Where's Joe?
Where's Joe?
No, Joe, if you want me to listen to you, you got to pay me too, okay? But no, we'll see what happens next year. We'll have some fun things going forward for that. We could expand, definitely have some changes to help out the scoring and some different things there. But all in all, it's a great year. Why? Because Tim didn't win the championship. Thus,
the and neither did Mike.
Yeah. Oh. And we're going to look for a replacement on this podcast for Justin. if anything, great way to go out. All right. Brinks, thanks for being a special guest four times this year.
Yeah.
Thanks for gracing with your presence.
Fun.
Filling in for Tim when he skipped out a lot this year. Janobes, thanks for always, showing up. And of course,
being a good husband, Mike. That's all I'm doing.
All right, America. The fantasy football season is over. Let's just say I'm rooting for Flacco to go back to Baltimore and win, and I'm rooting for Stafford to beat the Lions in the playoffs. All right. That's what I'm looking for.
Niners and Ravens.
Niners and Ravens. All right. Peace out, everybody. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.